Well, hallelujah. We are concluding our series, Jesus the Healer, today. And remember, it's the anointing that does the work. Amen? But it's not the will of God that makes the anointing work, and it's not the timing of God that makes the anointing work. The anointing does the work, and it's faith that makes the anointing work. That's what Jesus said. Your faith has made you whole. Be it done unto you according to your faith. Be it done unto you even as you have believed. He never once said, you're healed because of my anointing. You're healed because it's the will of God to heal you. You're healed because you showed up just on time. And the stars are aligned in your favor, and you are one of the lucky ones. Did he ever say anything like that?
No.
Now, I made that a little ridiculous because, look, millions of Christians and a large majority of the church have relegated everything to the will of God, to the supreme sovereign will of God. And it's just not true. Because if that was true, there wouldn't be any sickness in the world. There wouldn't be any hospitals. If everything was done according to his will, there wouldn't be any prisons or graveyards either. It doesn't happen that way. What happens is he gave us his word and said, do this. Right? Timothy, preach the word. Deliver the word to the people. And when they do the word of God, they will get the results that the word of God says they will get. All of the examples of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, are called the books of the law. They're called the books of the law, not because of the Ten Commandments, but because in them are revealed, and they have an examples of the processes of life. The laws of life are revealed in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what the Pharisees were all, that's what birthed the Pharisaical order during that intertestamental period, because they had this zeal to preserve the laws of life. But they overdid it, and they started making traditions that countered the word of life. And a lot of believers have those countering ideas going on in their minds that are nipping and robbing their faith, taking the power that God's given and just dissolving it, diluting it with worldly type thinking. God is a healing God, and his healing has already been accomplished with those stripes. He became your, I hate to put it this way, but for lack of a better term, he became your whipping boy. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And while we're going there, let's get into our weekly confession. Ready? Let's say this together. Declare it. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. I'm sorry, did I skip one? Let's go back to first base here. Authority. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, that tickles going down, doesn't it? When you know that God is his word. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and we'll read through the third verse. But he said, there is therefore now no condemnation for them, they who are in Christ. in Christ Jesus. You know, if you are in Christ, which means if you are born again, born into his family, God has become your father, you are in Christ and you are not condemned and you will not be condemned with the world. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, you are born from death unto life and you will not come into the condemnation. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now that word righteousness, it's kind of a King James word for everything that is right about God, that he is righteous. That's what that means. It refers to his life and his nature. And when you were born again, you received the life of God, his very nature, which is Zoe. It's eternal life. For lack of better translation, Jesus said, when you believe in me, you'll have Zoe, the life and nature of God. And so since you have the life and nature of God, you were made righteous with his very own righteousness. You can't separate his righteousness from his life and his nature. It can't be done. So when you received him and you were born again, you became a new creation filled with the life and the nature of God. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. And he will never judge the righteous with the wicked. That proves that the raptures happened prior to the tribulation. Because he will not judge the righteous with the wicked. You may do some things that will make you feel guilty. You may sin. And the devil uses that to make you feel condemned. And he uses condemnation against you. But God doesn't condemn you. To say that God condemns you is a lie. And that's who's the father of lies? Yeah, the devil, Satan, the dragon, whoever, Slewfoot, the worm. That's the one. His head has been kicked in. God doesn't condemn you. In fact, he's already forgiven you. You've got to understand that what God calls done is done. He doesn't just decide to forgive you when you confess. He's already forgiven you. And he said, if you confess your sins, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the residue of your sin. It's like a criminal. A criminal, he commits a crime, the gavel goes down, he serves a sentence. When the sentence is up, he goes free, right? The gavel goes down, he's issued a release, and he goes free. Too many Christians are acting as if they're they're out on parole. That there's still something left hanging over their head that the devil can use. I'm telling you, that is a lie. Once God forgives you, it is gone. Amen. Gone. You got to get tough with this. You got to shake yourself up and get off and just believe in that blood that washes and deletes all the memory banks in the earth and in heaven regarding your sin. It's gone. It's done. Amen. Completely gone. Woo! Well, you should be dancing. I want to dance, dance, dance before the Lord. I want to sing, sing, sing and praise him some more. I want to shout, 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 shout in the house. I want to praise the Lord. You're free. You're free from that. You're not on parole. You are released. The truth has made you free. Oh, so there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Verse 2 says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, you, us, our, free from the law of sin and death. You know, God works these things so simple. There's two primary laws, and there's several laws under them, but there are two primary laws. There is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me go over here. Then there is the law of sin and death, right? How hard is that? If my lightning fast mind can figure this out, then you can too. I was a drugged out rock and roller, got saved on my 24th birthday. Can't count that far back. But it was a while ago. But if I can get this, anybody can get this. That's what I'm saying. This morning we're looking at the law of life, and in order to understand that, you really got to look at the whole thing the way God presents it. He says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, you're no longer in Adam. If you were born again, you're born into the family of God, you're no longer in Adam, and all of the residue of Adam no longer has any right to permeate you, your mind, your will, emotionally, or anything else. You have been totally delivered from that. And your spirit, man, your spirit looks just like you do. It has a head. It has a body. It has legs and arms. Your spirit looks like you do. Do you remember the rich man in hell? Yes. Remember that story? And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I mean, look, you'd think that they were still in their bodies, but they weren't. They can talk and hear, communicate, but they weren't. It says they died and were buried. Your spirit looks exactly like you. And the mental part and the emotional part is still attached to them. Not good for the rich man, good for Lazarus. Where were we here? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do. You know, laws can't change a person. All the law, all the Ten Commandments could do is come down and tell you what already was. That man's a sinner and God's holy. That's about it. And what that did, that unloaded a whole trunk load of weight on people because it pointed out their sin. That's why in Romans chapter 6, he said the law works wrath. In other words, all the law does is make God mad and us mad. Because we can't fulfill it. We can't walk in it. It reveals our inability to be like God. But all that's changed through the new birth. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. What does it say? Condemned sin in the flesh. Paul, we're talking about healing now. Paul did not have a medical degree that I know of. I'm sure Luke talked to him a lot. But if Paul saw cancer on somebody, if he saw some physical problem with them, if he saw cancer, if he saw leprosy or something, to him that would be sin in the flesh, wouldn't it? Does God condemn a sick person for being sick? No. What does he condemn? Sin in the flesh, disease, sickness, maladies, deformities, whatever it is. He has condemned that. He hasn't condemned you. We're not condemned. The sin is condemned. This is where the Word of God has to get sharp and dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow and bone, and reveal to you what is and what is not condemned, and you are not condemned. The gavel has gone down in the highest court in existence. Boom! Illegal. Sin in the flesh, disease, sickness, any kind of problem has been condemned in the highest court in existence, and it has no legal right to be in your body unless you give it to it.
Amen.
Amen. We allow it in through ignorance much of the time. Ignorance. Just because we don't know. We get a symptom and say, oh, my stomach hurts. I wonder what's wrong with me. I wonder if that could be cancer. I wonder. And now you're talking yourself into something that isn't even proven yet. But yet, on the other hand, you've never seen heaven, but you're talking about that as if you're there already, right?
Right.
You need to get a hold of this, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus right here. This is how it operates. Getting quiet in here. You know, Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil. The devil wants to steal. Jesus is a giver. The devil is a stealer. Jesus is a giver. The devil wants to kill us. Jesus gives us life. You see this? These are universes apart. The devil wants to destroy us. Jesus restored us. The devil wants to tear things down and rip them up, produce chaos. Jesus gives us peace. That's total. That word shalom means to be complete with nothing missing, broken, or wanting in your life in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That's what it means. And here's the good thing. None of us have arrived there yet, have we? Except for me. I got a long way to go. I remember one time, never mind, I'm not going to go there. We got to get some things done here. How did God get the blessing into Adam and Eve? Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and we'll go there. It says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, we separate this somehow. He blessed them and said, and rightly so, because the King James translated that way. This Hebrew word, said, is a pretty cool word. It's the word amar. Amar. And it's translated in many other places in the Old Testament as saying. And God blessed them saying. He spoke his word into them, and that word released its power, the power of the blessing. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply. Oh, say to yourself, be fruitful. Multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. You know, there's things you have to subdue. Even though the garden was a paradise, he had a responsibility to subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Be. What empowered them to do that? The Word of God. What was that? That was the blessing. What is the blessing? It works. The blessing is the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And if you are no longer in Adam who fell, you are in Christ who rose. Amen. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Praise God. You have been raised up together with him. His word has been spoken to you by the gospel. That's how he breathed his blessing in you. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from all the curses that came in through sin, the curse of the law, which is the granddaddy of them all, which includes every curse. For it is written, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree, that the what? Blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. When you received Jesus Christ, the blessing was breathed into you. How? Through the gospel, through the word of God, through the good news that Jesus died for you, that Jesus took your penalty. And you know what? Here's another thing about condemnation. In this country, we have a law called double jeopardy. You can't be accused of the same crime twice once you've been found not guilty. Once the gavel has gone down, and God's gavel has gone down, because justice was settled at Calvary. And he is totally just to release his mercy to anybody who calls on his name. Where was I? Where was I going with that? There's so many things coming. But Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And under the curse of the law, you can read in Deuteronomy 28, that is every sickness and every disease that is written and not written in it. Look at verse 60 or 61 in Deuteronomy 28, and it says, and every sickness and disease that is not written in this is under the curse of the law. And they're finding new ones all the time. I mean, if you ever watch the advertisements on TV, have you ever heard of some of these things that are wrong with people now? They weren't even like in existence when I was a kid. I mean, things are escalating at a pretty good rate, especially when sin is multiplying like it is in the earth today. So is disease, so is sickness, and the author of all that stuff is selling it to them. Look at Big Pharma, man. Those things, $1 trillion in drugs. And all the time. And then you got the church blaming God for it. Say, well, God wants me to have this. And, you know, if God wants me to be, if God wants to heal me, then I'll just, you know, when he gets good and ready to save me, I know I'll be saved. When he gets good and ready to heal me, I know I'll be healed. You know, you can think that way until you leave the planet lost. It's faith. Faith. Faith in God. We'll talk about next month. We're going to talk about this day. Now. We're putting together a really good series for you. And how we act on the Word of God and how the Word of God acts for us when we act on it. It's going to be good. So show up. How did the blessing come to Adam and Eve? Through the Word of God, when he said, be blessed, be fruitful. You know, you can be fruitful in every area of your life through the gospel. How did you get saved? Oh, let me say this again. When you say, I got saved, you are saying a really big statement. Saved from what? It's not just hell. It's not just eternity separated from God. It's not just, salvation is an all-inclusive word. It means saved, healed, delivered, restored, redeemed. It means to be safe, sound, and protected. It's one of those all-inclusive words in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. It's used that way. We gave that verse to Monse just the other day, that a woman will be saved in childbearing. What's that? It's comfort. It's ease. It's you know, it's in 1 Timothy 2:15, in case you're going to have a baby soon. But a woman will be saved in childbearing. You can claim that's a promise, and you can stand on it. So the doctor says, I think we're going to have to do a cesarean. You say, well, go ahead and keep thinking that. I know the truth, and the truth has made me free from cesarean, that he will save me in childbearing. Now, I'm not telling you not to do that, but work yourself up to that point on these promises. How did the blessing come into you? Through Jesus Christ when you received him. Let's go back to that, John, in Galatians 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That means he will not require you to be anything, to be under anything that he has already redeemed you from. Let me say that again. God will not require you to be under anything that he's already redeemed you from. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Your curse was given to Jesus. He buried it in hell. He left it there and rose up clean. Is gone. Because it is written, cursed everyone hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Did it say that? No. Through Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, when he came into your spirit man and recreated you, the blessing came on you. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. When you come and receive the Holy Spirit, he has already been given. You don't have to wait around. I went to one church when I was first saved, and I heard they were doing, and they said, go to the altar and tarry, see if he'll fill you. Well, I can tell you what happened. Nothing. Nothing. A whole lot of nothing, except I was feeling so condemned. And the guys up there, see, these people believe you had to speak in tongues to get saved. And this guy's marching around on the stage saying, you're going to hell unless you talk in tongues. And man, I was saved when I walked in there. They talked me out of that. I was saved for about a year before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I knew I was saved. I knew I was different. I had a peace in me that I had wonders happen. Look, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is subsequent to salvation. I can prove that in John chapter 14. He said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Who does that leave open to receive the Holy Spirit? Believers, us who are born again. You got to get born again, then receive. Now, some people, it's right away. Some people like me, I'm slow. Took a while. Yeah. Shirley's right. But once you catch on, it's like, wow, this is how everything works. Just speak in tongues. Just do it. I was waiting for God to grab my tongue and start, you know, what do you do? You know, well, a lot of people are standing around waiting for God to show them a sign that they're healed. And he already says, by whose stripes you were healed. You have not been condemned. That thing has been condemned and separated from you, judged by God Almighty, and set you free. It has no right. You say, well, I don't feel healed. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what you believe. Don't depend on your feelings to tell you whether God's word is true or not. You may feel condemned. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Well, I don't feel forgiven. Doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what you believe. Don't depend on how you feel to tell you whether God's word is true or not. He creates stars with his word. And there's one sentence in there that says that, and you're going to challenge that because of your feelings? And you don't feel forgiven? Or you don't feel healed? Well, I mean, I'm not healed. All right, let's go back to the beginning. What is under the curse of the law? All sickness and disease. All abnormalities, deformity, whatever it is. It's all under the curse of the law. And you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to put up with it. Physical maladies. Did Jesus take the curse away from you? Yes, he did. Where did he put that curse? In hell. In hell. And you receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Amen. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit speaks. Blessing. Blessing. What is in the blessing? Healing. Deliverance. Safety. It's salvation. This is the law of the Spirit of life. Let me go into something else here too. I'm just going to read these, John. Don't go... John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who Him? Him the Word. Him the Word. Things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life, the Spirit of life was the light of men, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so that he could die, resurrect, and live in us. John chapter 4, verse 14, whosoever drinks the water that I shall give him, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The living water, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking the living water, you're drawing from the wells of salvation, the wells of redemption, the wells of revelation, the wells of understanding and the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ. You're drawing from that when you speak, when you pray in tongues, speak in tongues. Man, that would, huge revelation there. That Paul was the one who had more revelation than anybody else, and he also spoke in tongues more than anybody else. Drawing from that deep well of the depths of God. John 5, chapter 5, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me has Zoe, everlasting life. John 6, 63, Jesus said this, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And after he said that in John 6, 66, he says, from that time on, many disciples went back and walked with him no more. John 6, 66. Yeah. Then he said this. I found that interesting. Then he said this to his disciples. He said, you want to go too? You know, Jesus wasn't really dependent on anybody. He didn't need any man to enhance his life one iota. He knew what he came to do. He said, are you going to leave? He's given them a chance to say yes or no. He always leaves the choice to them, unlike some governments that we know of, or employers that we know of. So he said, will you go too? And then Simon Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, the words of life. The words of eternal life, the words of life, the words of life. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. This is the law of the spirit of life right here in our words. Amen. John 6:60, I'm sorry, Acts 5:20. The disciples were thrown in jail. Angel came and busted them out. And when he got them out of the prison, he said, go in the temple and speak all the words of this life. Life is carried in the Word of God. Life is transported. Not just any life, the life. This is the abundant life that Jesus... This is not survival life. He says, well, you know, I'll just kind of get along as a Christian, bear my cross, and, you know, and I know it's a drudgery, but I've got to do it if I'm going to make heaven. Do you know how many millions of people are in that rut? And it's totally useless. Because all of our works are filthy rags of righteousness. What am I saying here? You speak about you what God has said about you. You're forming an agreement with something that has been settled forever in heaven, and you're establishing it here in the earth, in your life, in your mind, in your body, in your future, from your past. Anything, the provisions are there. And it's a total and complete package. And you are complete in him. That's what that means. Amen. That's what that means. Hallelujah. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. How we treat the word is how we're treating God. Did you know that? The word is God. Yeah. Your attitude towards the word of God is your attitude towards God. This is sobering. You can't just take and leave. Oh, I'll take that, but nah, I don't agree with that. You have not that choice. How we regard the authority of the Word of God is how we regard God, the authority of God in our life. How we comply with the Word of God is how we comply with God. If we are not placing the Word of God first place in our lives, we're not placing God first place in our life. Is this kind of catching you? Because I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. If you want to see the Word made flesh in your life, you've got to understand that you've got to do the Word. In your mind, in your words, and in your actions. If we believe, receive, and act on the Word of God, we are believing and receiving and walking with God. Will God let you down? Will he be disappointed who believes in me, the Bible says? No, he won't. How we perceive the Word of God is how we perceive the kingdom of God, the nature of God, and our salvation. I mean, even if you have a little light, like the light under a door, and you know something's under there, behind that door, even if you have a little light, walk towards that light. Use the little that you got until the door, but knock, and it shall be open to you. Jesus said, if any man knock. Jesus knocks. If any man hear me knocking, let him open the door. So it's a two-way thing. He wants to come into you, sup with you. Now, if he's already in you, that's a term. That, by the way, that doesn't regard salvation. This is talking about fellowship, not just relationship with God. This is talking about fellowship, supping with us, dining with us. Could you imagine God taking time out of his busy schedule just to have dinner with you? You know, there was one time after Jesus was speaking everything, these two guys came to him and said, Lord, where do you live? He said, come on, I'll show you. Could you imagine George Clooney doing that or some elite movie star saying, oh, yeah, come on over, I'll show you. I don't think so. Could you imagine Nancy Pelosi saying that? Oh, but she expects you to. Oh, don't get mad at me now. Laws don't change people. Let's pass a law. I'll tell you what does change people. Inspiration does. You can't change your husband by laying down the law. You can't change your wife by laying down the law. You know what changes them? When you start doing to them what you would want them to do to you, that'll start inspiring them. When you start speaking things to them that you want them to speak to you, that'll start opening up some doors, some sweet emotions. Wasn't that Aerosmith? Sweet emotions. Start speaking. Start treating them how you want to be treated. Speak to them like you want them to speak to you. Start doing things for them that, you know, we heard Joyce Meyer the other day. She said, you know, when you get married, you got to realize that your spouse comes as is. Don't think that you're going to change them by your attitudes, your anger, throwing things around. It didn't work for her. It won't work for us. You know? Take out this manufacturer's guide right here. This is how to do marriage. This is the law of life concerning marriage. This is the law of life concerning your body. This is the law of life concerning your diet. This is the law of life concerning everything in life. There's nothing left out here. Even your eyes, your ears, it's all there. Your mouth, your words, your thoughts. Your intentions, it's all in the Word of God. He has addressed all of it. You want a correction? The Scripture is given for correction, instruction, and righteousness. That's why it's given, because we all need it, totally and constantly, right? How we treat others who God loves is how we treat Him. Jesus said that, didn't they? Having done that to the least of these, you've done it to me. And He backed that up, too, when He appeared to Saul of Tarsus. He said, you're persecuting me. He identifies with you. He feels your hurt. He feels your pains. I know Bill Clinton said he feels your pain, but he didn't. Jesus really does. What's that? Oh, excuse me. I was trying not to get so graphic. Hey, you know what? If they're going for that office, they bought into this already. Yes. They are open. Because I'm telling you something, anybody who is in a public office is not there for themselves. They are there to serve.
That's right.
The people who elected them and to represent their cause. Right. That's the way it is. Yes. That's just the way it is. Did you get anything out of this today? Look, the bottom line is, God sent his word not to just say he's God. He sent his word to make you like him, to make you just like him, to make you a clone, that the very spirit of Christ in you recreated you in the image and likeness of Jesus. He has already been raised from the dead and accepted, and if you're in him, you're accepted in the beloved. Washed, cleansed, renewed, restored. Jesus, our healer. Yes. And that healer said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So what do? We lay hands on the sick. And what does he do? He makes sure they're recovered. Lord, we come to you with our case. We come to you. You said, come to me and let us plead together. Let us reason together. Plead your case that you may be justified. And the case that justifies us is this. We're not bringing to him everything that's wrong. We're bringing him back what his word has said about those things. And then it will not return to him void. Let me say that again. We are bringing to him what his word says about our situation. And when we release it to him, it's not coming back to him void, but accomplishes its purpose. Accomplishes what he pleased, and it will prosper in the purpose that it was sent to. God's word is him. So when you speak his word, you're releasing him, loosing his hand to work on your behalf. God, you're so close. You are so near. You are so accessible. It's time to rebel against sickness. It's time to rebel against disease. Rebel! Rebel against it.
Amen.
Rebel against those things. Treat them like the intruder that they are. The thief they are. The destroyer that they are. If God is one with his word, I'm telling you, sickness and disease is one with the... You can't separate the two. God. Sorry if I shouted there, kids. I'm not mad. God, rebel. Rebel against that thing. You need to rise up and absolutely rebel against that. It's a tyrannical ruler. It's lawless. It's subject to nothing except it is subject to the name of Jesus and the word of God and the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's subject to all of it. Rebel against it. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will not return void. We have settled that in our hearts. And we know that you hear our prayers. You hear the confessions of our heart. We operate according to the law of faith, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of love, the law, the royal law, and the law of liberty, which is the Word of God. And as we continue in that law of liberty, continue in the Word of God, it will liberate us. We continue and continue and continue, knowing that faithful is He who promised, and faithful is He who will do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. If you want prayer for healing, I want you to come forward. Altar ministers, I'm talking about any kind of healing, any kind of healing. You come up here. We'll pray for you. The rest of you are dismissed. Please go to the cafe and fellowship there.